think they are good for all of us to reflect upon. And I want to thank Reggie Wilson for his help doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes organization for our Sunday service. Thank you, Reggie Wilson. Let's dive in. Psalm 119, verse 25. I am laid low in the dust. Preserve my life according to your word. I gave an account of my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your decrees. Cause me to understand the way of your precepts, that I may meditate on your wonderful deeds. My soul is weary with sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. Keep me from deceitful ways. Be gracious to me and teach me your law. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I have set my heart on your laws. I hold fast to your statutes, Lord. Do not let me be put to shame. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. Psalm 119, verses 25 to 40. The psalmist says, I am laid low in the dust. There is something that is affecting the writer of this psalm. He's in a very vulnerable situation. God said to man, unto dust you shall return. And so when the psalmist says, I am laid low in the dust, his perception is that he is despairing of death. He feels his life being threatened. Even Jesus said in Matthew 26, verse 38, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Death is the greatest fear that every human being has to wrestle with. We see from this verse that the psalmist is not sitting down in an ivory tower, sipping coffee and having cocktails. He is in a rough place. He asks God two times in these verses, preserve my life. We don't know exactly what's going on, but we know that he is at a very low point in his life emotionally. Life is full of highs and lows. What do people do when they are at emotionally low points? What do people do? What are some of the human tendencies? Well, we typically want to escape. This is a Southwest ad encouraging people who are having a rough time at it. Do you want to get away? Having a rough day? Having a rough year? Southwest says, you need to go on vacation. That's what you really need. And some people buy into that. And they go far, far away. And they have a wonderful time eating food and going to hotels and all that stuff. And then they have to come back home to the very same thing that they ran away from. I was really laughing when Reggie was sharing last Sunday about this lights out episode in his classroom. And he was like, I got to get out of here. Teaching is not for me. But praise God, he remained faithful. And he's continued to teach for many years. Some people turn to the consumption of alcohol. It's interesting, with all the stress that people were going through in the period of COVID, the mayor said that the sale of alcoholic beverages is an essential need for the people of New York. So liquor stores had to remain open. It's true. That's what happened. And many people increased their consumption of alcohol. I'm stressed. I'm going through a hard time. Let me get something to drink. This is what people do. Some people turn to opioids. Opioids are mood-altering drugs. They're so powerful that they can take you to a place where you are transported to a different world. They make you feel amazing. But then the effect of the opioid runs out and you're back to reality. Some people seek entertainment. I want to be entertained. I'm going through a low time in my life. I need to be entertained. I want to watch movies, lots and lots of movies. I want to binge watch on Netflix. Netflix subscription rate has increased. It's just, I don't want to think about my problems. Some people turn to sports as an escape. I just want to get my mind off my problems. I want to see my team win, etc. But, you know, sports is a mixed bag, because when your team loses, it becomes problematic. And I experienced that yesterday. I was invited to a game where the Miami Heat were playing. I was led like a lamb to the slaughter to the Bonner's house. And the Miami Heat were playing. And let's just say the result was not what I wanted. And then we took this picture. And I'm in the behind the Knicks flag. Do you see it there? That's precisely the point. This is intentional, because I don't want to relive my trauma of yesterday, but I was laid low in the dust, moving right along. You know, some people sink into depression. They play negative messages about themselves over and over and over again. And it can become very difficult for them to climb out of that depression when they're going through something difficult. And last but not least, some people turn to sexual sin. You know, sexual pleasure can be compared to a drug. I mean, God made us as sexual beings, and we receive a lot of pleasure from the sexual experience. So sex in and of itself is not wrong, because God made us that way, but it can be inappropriately used. And what happens is, when people get involved in just an inappropriate use of sexual pleasure, it leads to other things that can really imprison the soul. My point is that the psalmist is going through something. I'm laid low in the dust. But he doesn't go to alcohol. He didn't book a vacation ticket on Southwest. You don't get the impression that he's turning to sexual pleasure. You don't get any. Who is the psalmist turning to? He's turning to God. And so if you just read a few of these verses, I'm laid low in the dust, preserve my life according to what? Your word. My soul is weary with sorrow, strengthen me according to what? Your word. One gets the impression that at this very low point in his life, he is highly motivated to come to God, to read the scriptures, to allow the word of God to help him to think differently about the situation that he's in. He turns to God's word. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees that I may follow it to the end. He said this several times in the 16 verses that we read. He wants to learn from God. He's not trying to figure it out himself. He's not using his own feelings or his emotions to navigate his way out of the problem. He is reaching out to and appealing for help from God. What about you? Are you laid low in the dust this morning? Is there something going on in your life, whether it be in your marriage, with your children, with your job, maybe something about your finances is just getting you down? Or maybe it doesn't have anything to do with what's going on with you right now. It could be something that happened years ago that is just weighing you down. It's a burden you're carrying. Where do you go when you are low in the dust? You know, when we're going through tough times emotionally, we face unique temptations. Satan attacks us when we are most vulnerable. And that's what you see in these verses that we read. He says, keep me from deceitful ways. Why is he praying that prayer? Because when times get rough, it is a human tendency to be deceitful. What is deceit? Deceit is when you tell some parts of the truth, but leave some others out. Usually people are dishonest when they feel they may be punished for something that they did wrong. And there's an authority figure that is questioning them. You know, you weren't really sick that day when you didn't come to work. You just were watching movies pretty late, but you say you were sick. That's deceit. Lies. That is a human tendency. When we're in a place when we're down low, we want to give the impression things aren't that bad. Turn my heart towards your statutes and not toward selfish gain. The psalmist is saying, while he is in this position where he is laid low in the dust, he has a tendency to be self-centered. I'm in this situation. It's affecting me. The only person you could think about is yourself. It's me. You don't care about anybody else but me. What does the psalmist pray? He said, turn my heart toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Let me just not think about what I want. Let me think about what you want, God, in this situation that I'm in. Turn my eyes away from worthless things. Again, when we are in the throes of affliction, we tend to look to other places and other people for answers. We look to human beings for them to rescue us. And we fill our minds with stuff that really we probably shouldn't be even thinking about. And this is what the psalmist is alluding to. Turn my eyes away from worthless things, from the things that really can't help me. Help me to keep my eyes fixed on you. It's important to remember, God does not abandon us in difficult times. He does not abandon us when we are downcast or in despair, but that is what we think. It's in those times of great despair that he speaks to us. But we must reach out to him. Because God knows the word you need to hear to comfort your soul. He knows exactly what you're going through. And he has a plan for your life. One of the verses that I love in this passage that we read, he says, "My soul is weary with sorrow." The psalmist recognizes that things happen in the course of our lives that affect our soul. In our culture, we speak a lot about physical health. And we commend the doctors and nurses who attend to the physical well-being of human beings. Of late, we have spoken a lot about mental health. And this is much needed. And we commend the mental health practitioners who are trying their best to help people. But in our culture, we do not speak often about the condition of the human soul. And it is the human soul that makes all of us unique. The Bible says that we have an inner being and an outer being. We have bodies that function in a similar manner, but everyone has a unique soul. And just as the psalmist is in tune with the condition of his soul, we have to ask ourselves, am I in tune with how my soul is doing today? Excuse me. Because only God's word, brothers and sisters, can heal the afflictions of the soul. And if you're visiting today and you feel like you desire a greater understanding of God's word, maybe you have an interest, but as you open up the Bible, it just seems kind of confusing to you. If you desire to understand God's word better, you've come to the right place. Just ask one of the members, one of the people who brought you here, who invited you here, about the free Bible studies that we offer. And I underscore, they're free. You don't have to worry about any copay. They're free. They're brothers and sisters who will sit with you at a time that's convenient to you and will help you understand the Word of God in a very practical way. I took part in one of those free Bible studies, and it revolutionized my life. It helped me understand what God's Word was saying to me and the self-destructive practices that I was involved in that I needed to stop doing. The Word of God liberated my soul. And there is nothing that can liberate your soul like the Word of God. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. The psalmist says, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. And so we see there's something going on in his life. He says he feels that he is laid low in the dust. He's calling out for God to teach him, to instruct him, to direct him in his situation. And he says in verse 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. That in spite of his affliction, in spite of his not understanding why he's in the situation that he's in, he says, I am going to choose what I know God wants from my life. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. No one is choosing it for me. I am making a personal decision to do what God wants me to do. No one is forcing me to do it. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. And the lesson for us, brothers and sisters, is that in spite of what you may be going through emotionally, in spite of how Satan wants to toss us back and forth sometimes, we have the power to choose how we are going to respond. I don't have to try to escape my pain like the world does. I don't have to look to the world and see, what are they drinking? Let me try some of that. I can choose the way of faithfulness. I can choose to remain faithful to God. And that is the most powerful lesson that we all need to embrace. You and I have the power to choose. Can I get an amen? Amen. And especially in times of adversity, we have to choose to remain faithful to God. Because God knows what is best for us. I choose to confess my sin. I choose that. I don't expect people to run me down and try and pry open my life. I choose because this is what I see in the scriptures. Is it embarrassing? Is it tough? Yes, all of that. But I choose to let brothers in on my life and let them know what's going on with me. I choose to read my Bible every single day. Do I do that because I'm a paid minister in the New York City Church of Christ? I was doing that from the time I was a young Christian. Nobody was making me do it. Nobody was forcing me to do it. I chose. You can make that choice too. You can choose. Imagine if you left here today saying, you know what, I'm not going to let a 24-hour period pass without reading the Bible. That is a radical decision to make. Radical. I choose to read the Bible. I choose to come to church. That's the way of faithfulness. I make that choice. Why? Because my brothers and sisters are here physically. Because God says, I need to be in the body of Christ. It is his will for my life. It is what's best for me. I choose to come here. Nobody forces me to come. The elders don't pick up the phone and go, are you going to be at church today, Sean? No, I choose to come here. I choose to worship with this body of believers. I choose to do that. I have chosen the way of faithfulness. And you can choose it too. I want to turn our attention now to Jesus as we take the Lord's Supper. If you do not have a communion cup, just raise your hand and one of the ushers will make sure that you get one. We are going to take the communion. And, you know, we take the communion every Sunday when we gather together as a body of believers. And we have to ask ourselves, why have we been commanded to remember the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus? Why does God insist that we do this every week? Why does God expect us to look upon Jesus hanging on the cross at the hour of his time of tremendous pain and suffering? Why is that the focus every time we meet? Some may think, well, this event took place over 2,000 years ago. Can't we just move on to something else? Something more positive? Something less gory? Something more sweet to the soul? Why look at this man's death? God says we can't move on. God says we cannot move on from this event. In fact, in the gospel message, Christ and him crucified occupies a central focus in the message of the gospel. God reminds us of our suffering Messiah because Jesus chose the way of faithfulness in the midst of hardship. And if Jesus chose the way of faithfulness in the midst of his suffering, we are also called to remain faithful when we go through periods of suffering and hardship in our lives. The scripture that we can meditate on while we take the Lord's Supper is this. Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 5. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we are so grateful and thankful for your son Jesus, for the fact that he was crushed, that he was pierced for our transgressions, that he was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that really we should have received, he took it on our behalf. Father, he was not bitter. He was not disheartened. He kept choosing the way of faithfulness. Father, as we take this bread that represents Jesus' body and the fruit of the vine that is his blood, help us to see the great sacrifice that Jesus went through, faithfully sticking with the plan for our redemption. God, help us to imitate our Savior. God, we're so weak. when we are faced with hardships. We feel like giving up. We feel like we made mistakes. Sometimes we even feel like straying from the path of righteousness. Please forgive us when we have those thoughts, God. And help us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Help us to follow in his footsteps so that we can receive the blessing and benefits that he has in store for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.